A community that knows itself takes care of itself. The stories of those who live in the Matsu Borough are as varied as the people themselves. Some you have heard. Some, perhaps, you have not. This is Voices of the Matsu, bringing our stories to life.
Hi, I'm Emily Forstner, your host today for Voices of the Matsu. Throughout this program, we talk a lot about community, the what's and where's and who's and why's of those smaller groups we find within our community. And today, we explore two more that combat big issues with youth in the Matsu, loneliness and substance abuse. These stories reveal a surprising truth. When we start believing in people, they begin to believe in themselves, which is why we call this episode The You in Youth Matters.
It started back in 2017-2018, after the David Grunwald murder.
We're listening to Tyler Healy. He's the director for U360. U360 is a youth group that's funded by the United Way of Matsu. When Tyler talks about the David Grunwald murder, he's referencing a tragic killing of a young man from the Palmer area by fellow youth, his friends, his kids, killing kids. And this was a wake-up call for the Matsu. So first up, we're going to get to know the group U360. This group believes that community connections are the most important thing for young people. Because the more connected a young person is, the more likely they will grow into a healthy adult by boosting their well-being and reducing issues like bullying and substance abuse and loneliness and depression and all those things that woke up the Matsu.
There was some people in the community who were obviously shocked and saddened, and we're looking at ways that we could try to prevent this type of thing from ever happening again. And around that time, there was a lot of international publicity on the country of Iceland, of all places, and how Iceland had been supporting its youth over the previous couple of decades. They had basically cut youth drinking and other substance use from very high rates down to nearly eliminated. And this came as a heavy investment in youth development, but also kind of what's been described to us as kind of a culture change amongst families and communities and teens about the way that teens are spending their time and really focusing on prevention, you know, going upstream, stopping problems before they start, and the way that Iceland did it.
The way Iceland did it, the Icelandic model, started in 2005. And you're never going to guess where? In Iceland. That's when, with its harsh weather and isolation, which Alaskans can relate to, they decided to tackle the hard issues with youth. Their model focuses on family ties, lots of healthy options, vibrant youth programs, and school attachment. It's been highly successful. Just 20 years later, Iceland ranks among the lowest in adolescent substance use in all of Europe.
And what we drew some of our ideas from was, hey, if kids are involved in positive things that are keeping them busy and active, if the families are involved, and if essentially the culture and the atmosphere surrounding them is one that doesn't provide many options for unhealthy outlets, then those things aren't going to happen. So it's about sharing information with the community, about coming up with community solutions and giving teens just really the opportunity to stay busy and build positive relationships.
In alignment with the Icelandic model, U360 works in collaboration with the Matsu School District. They have after-school sites at the Houston High School campus and next to Wasilla High School. Is it working?
It is working, yeah. This will be our sixth summer program coming up here. This is the difficult thing about working in prevention. It's very hard to measure or know what didn't happen, right? And so this is a challenge for us, but I sincerely do believe that, you know, the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours cumulatively that kids have spent in our youth clubs has 100% prevented negative things from happening during those hours. So I can say that confidently.
Okay. Yeah. And the friendships.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
the connections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Loneliness is a hard beast to fight. Indeed. And you can't fight it alone.
My name is Dorothy O'Neill. I kind of jumped around elementary schools, but I went to Palmer Middle and I graduated from Wasilla High.
And then there was Thrive Matsu.
I went to a Thrive event. I was part of the Human Services Club. And as a club, we all went to a Thrive event and volunteered. And this was last year's last Thrive event. And then it was time for my practicum that next semester. And I was like, I really want to work with youth.
Thrive Matsu is another youth organization that partners with U360. And it was Thrive that convinced Dorothy to work with U360 this year as part of her internship with human relations at the Matsu College.
I would volunteer with the Houston site on Mondays and the Wasilla site on Tuesdays. So I got a little bit of both worlds.
Dorothy's a busy young woman. She also works part-time with Denali Family Services. From the sounds of it, you'd think Dorothy's life was pretty straightforward, from home to school to career. It wasn't like that, though.
Well, I was a homeless teenager, and so this means a lot to me to be able to give back to them in this way and work with teens. I was homeless a couple different times in my teenage years. We got evicted from our apartment here in Palmer, and so I was couch surfing with friends, but as soon as I would feel kind of like I was burdening the adults in their world, I would try to be like, okay, I'm gonna find somewhere else to go. And sometimes I wasn't burdening them. It just felt like it because, you know, I could be that intimidating teenager sometimes who looked angry. So I wasn't a burden. And that's something I really want all my teenagers to know is they don't burden us. I lived with friends a few times, and in the summertime, sometimes I'd just stay outside and camp. And then it was about 2 months span, 3 months span where I didn't hear from my mom at all. And then she found a place, and then I got back with her. And then we moved to Wasilla, and I went to Wasilla High School. And then I think it was my sophomore year that I was homeless again because she went to jail for a little while. And then my best friend's parents took me in for a little while. So.
And then you graduated from Wasilla High.
I did. And just barely, but I did it. And now I'm in college.
I asked Dorothy, did she think if there had been something like U360 when she was younger, they would have been able to help her out as a homeless teen?
Yes. They would have. They have a lot of plugs in the community where they would have figured it out. I mean, we don't actively work in that right now with like home. We don't like have that, but we know resources and that we would figure it out for sure. We also don't want any of our kids to leave hungry. We always have food.
Most importantly, she said it would have helped her know that she was part of a big, great community.
We try to make sure that they know that they are a part of a community. And so we try to get them. We do announcements before we start club, and we like to tell them about all the events that are going on, and we'll have them volunteer if they want to come up and go to the events as a group together, representing U360, so that they know that they are a part of something bigger than just being a teen in the valley.
Did you know so much was going on when you were in school?
I did not, and I wish I did. It would have made a huge difference for me because I feel like boredom can like come up with a lot of bad things. You can fill that in with. So especially with teenagers, giving them something to do and something to be a part of is a big deal. And one thing that is a big deal to me is like being the adult that I needed when I was a teenager to the teenagers.
Whenever people work in a field of giving, let's say, they always look for their impact, the difference they made. But at the end of the day, in those professions and those careers, it's the people that are impacted. So I asked Dorothy, how has U360 changed her.
U360 has taught me to be myself more because these kids are so themselves, like they can't help it. They're so authentic and they value authenticity so much. And so it's taught me to like kind of be myself and come at things where I'm at. I know that we're all burnt out adults and we all have our 9-to-5s and our busyness, and sometimes it feels so hard to relate to youth, but they're more like us than we think, and they need that connection with adults more than we think, and I think we need that connection with them more than we think too, because they've taught me more than I've taught them, for sure.
And how does Dorothy know if she's had the same positive impact on the kids that come to her U360 group?
They've opened up. They get more involved. We have, like, things that need to get done at the end of club, you know, just because there's, like, you know, dishes or things, chores that need to be done. And, like, they have grown so much in just, like, getting up and doing things when they see it needs to be done. And I love seeing that growth in them. It just seems like since I started in August until now, they've just kind of come out of their bubbles a lot, out of their shells, and they've really gotten to know each other a lot better. I think consistency helps. We're very consistent with, we're there, you know, every day after school, 2-to-5, and they know we're gonna be there. They know we're a safe adult that cares about them, and just like they know kind of the routine of it, but also the fun spontaneousness of it sometimes, and just the consistency and the staff there. All of the staff love the youth so much, and it brings the youth back. We meet them where they're at. We're not trying to change them. We're not trying to get a grade from them. We don't have any sort of expectation for them. The expectation is just that we're there, we're supportive, and we have like lessons or some hobbies, hobby building, skill building, things like that. Hobby building is so important because it teaches youth to have fun outside of a job where you're getting paid or like a school setting. It gives them like the freedom to be creative. And when you're being creative, you aren't being so hard on yourself.
The deep concern over mental health of teenagers is real, but it's complex because it's wedged in between family and friends and this extreme acceleration of social media. And this perspective suggests that a more nuanced approach may be necessary, one that balances awareness with a realistic understanding of the teenage experience. And that's where U360 fits in.
I do think it is an issue. I think that there are a lot more solutions than we think. And maybe that's just my blind optimism talking, but U360 is one of the solutions for sure, I think. And just giving them a sense of community, giving them a sense of belonging, giving them something to be a part of that they feel where they can be their most authentic selves and that they're safe. Giving them that outlet, I think, and a place just to vent too sometimes. That's not like therapy, where not that therapy's bad, but for kids it can be really scary. And so playing basketball outside with them and hearing about how their day was crap, sometimes that, it gets to them. It gets to their hearts.
We may all disagree on the price of gas, whether to be an herbivore or carnivore. We may mess with the thermometer in the hallway up and down and up and down, but whether we disagree on everything else, I believe we all care about our young people. So how, I asked Dorothy, does she think we adults in the room can show the kids who we care so much about that we really see the you in youth?
I definitely think it makes a difference. If you smile at them, sometimes they're just, you know, sometimes they need that like mirror energy of that energy exchange of just you smiling at them could make their whole, that could be exactly what they needed. You don't know. It's definitely not going to hurt them.
Or you.
Or you.
Who was your caring adult, Dorothy?
Rebecca May comes to mind. That was my best friend's mom. She always was very, you know, she never asked me if I was hungry. She just assumed and brought me food, which was so helpful. Seeing when the kids are insecure about something and helping them gain confidence in that area. And also just watching their, seeing their smiley faces when they get there and testing out their energy levels. And just, I love just meeting them where they're at, whatever that is at that time. So I just get excited to see them grow.
Good work, Dorothy. You're in college, getting a degree in human services, and you're helping kids. Kids just like you.
I know, and my 17-year-old self would not believe my 27-year-old self was doing this stuff. She'd be so proud. She'd be like, whoa, you're so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm Emily Forstner, and you've been listening to U360 intern Dorothy O'Neill on the episode of Voices of the Mat-Su, produced by Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Coming up next is Act 2 of the U in Youth Matters, when we get to know another youth group in the Mat-Su Valley, Thrive Mat-Su, building a stronger community in the fight against drug abuse and loneliness in youth. And if you've ever wondered if the headlines and concerns over youth mental health might be overblown, here's what a middle schooler named Julie thinks.
I think it's more serious. I know for one, I have felt sad at times and like I don't really have a group of friends before. I think everyone's really felt that. And I couldn't imagine feeling that all the time. It is way more serious than I think adults think it to be.
We first get to know staff member Allison Petrie. Allison started working with Thrive almost immediately after walking off the graduation stage at Palmer High School. 3 years later, and almost finished with a degree in graphic design, she takes time to stop by the studio and share the story behind Thrive.
So Thrive Mat-Su started as a coalition in 2007, a bunch of partners and stuff that really wanted to focus on the substance abuse with youth and trying to make sure that youth really matter. That started in 2007, and we wanted to be a bit more proactive about it. So Stephanie Allen, the president of the United Way, brought on Matt Clayton, and she goes, let's do something more proactive and do these events and activities for youth. And he goes, sounds great.
Matt Clayton is the director for Thrive Mat-Su.
Youth 360 is our partner program. We're both different branches under United Way, so we partner up for activities and stuff like that. And a lot of our students that do stuff with Thrive are people that do stuff with Youth 360, and some kids that are partnered up with Thrive end up joining Youth 360 later on because of it. We hope that having them join at sixth grade and doing fifth grade field days with them, that it brings them up. And we do that every year until they graduate high school, that we've impacted people 6 through 12. We have a bunch of coalition members, No More Mat-Su. They're one of our members. Bree 3 Mat-Su is another member. Connect Tribal, U360, we have so many of that. Can't think of off the top of my head that are part of our coalition. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Club.
Thrive Mat-Su hosts events throughout the Mat-Su, primarily connected with schools. If you remember, that's part of the philosophy behind the Icelandic model. That's the foundation for Youth 360. Thrive hosts activities throughout the year and summer for kids. Kids just like Max.
Thrive is here to steer kids away from drugs and alcohol to feel like they matter.
And just like Julie.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We're here to give kids an environment where they feel loved to prevent them falling into drugs. We often do events with Youth 360, but other than that, we don't have a lot of connect. We don't do events with the people in Anchorage.
Both programs, Youth 360 and Thrive, are what are called upstream services.
So being upstream, if you think of it, people fall into a river of drugs and stuff. There's downstream, which is they are pulling people out of using drugs. So we are upstream trying to prevent Mat-Su youth from even beginning drugs by giving them like an environment where they are loved and feel surrounded. So we are here to prevent that. I joined, a friend invited me to an event once. I really liked it. And I got to know Matt, who's in charge. The first activity I went to was in fifth grade, so I was a little under the age of group, but it was like families were invited. It was hiking the Butte. And then after I started going to middle school, I started going to all their events and stuff. And on Facebook, they said they were looking for street team members. And I thought that'd be interesting. I was in sixth grade, they were looking for like seventh graders and up. But I talked to Matt and he decided that there could be an exception for me. So I'm super glad that exception was made because now I really like Thrive and I would not quit.
So tell us more about the Thrive Street Team.
The Street Team is a group of youth where we get paid a little, not very much, to help spread word about our events and help out at the events, get their early help set up and help make it like extra welcoming. We talk to kids who are on the outskirts and stuff like that. So we go there not only to hang out with friends, but to help people have friends.
And we'll go out and put up posters around the place and like promote Thrive to like stores and stuff.
So are you on the street team too?
Yes.
I've been surprised about the rate Thrive has grown. What was our first event? Like how many?
I think like around like 100, 200 people.
Yeah, 100, 200 people. Our last big event was at like Halloween. That was a record breaker. It was like 700 people total. And that was like at 1 or 2 years.
If you've ever wondered if kids helping kids can really have that much impact on the work that goes with rowing upstream against the current, this is what it might look like.
So my first time I went to one of the bigger events, like the Saturday Night Thrives. I think it was a little overwhelming just being around so many people at one time. But once I kind of settled in, it was pretty normal.
Even if you don't walk in with your friend next to you, you can walk out with someone next to you. I think that's really cool. And that's like one of the reasons the street team is here. But I've even seen kids reaching out to each other that aren't on the street team connecting over that. So it's really amazing, like how when kids like us can influence people, they can influence others.
So the kids that come to Thrive, are they already thriving?
No, not all of them. I've definitely seen kids come in very like shy and obviously not coming from the best places. And of course, coming to a Thrive event isn't going to completely fix that. But if a kid comes in without anything or anyone and they leave with a little bit of hope, then we've done a good job. And then they can come back next time. We can keep chipping away. It's hard to track how it looks like Thrive is effective because there's not statistics. We can't say we helped 28 kids not get into drugs this month. But we can, over the next few years, we can look at statistics of how many people are in drugs right now and see if that number has gone down. So it's kind of hard to say, like, if Thrive is being effective. But Thrive is helping.
Thrive Matsu works to catch youth upstream to combat loneliness and substance abuse, catching even its young leaders of the street team in this net of friendship.
Yeah, I definitely think it helped me like talk to people better or more, because I used to like talk to like a few people and that was really it. But now I like try and talk to people.
But don't just take Max's word for it. No one knows better than a mom.
I think the biggest thing with my son is that he is like that kid that wears his heart on his sleeve, and middle school and high school is a tough place. And I've seen as he's grown in participation with Thrive that his confidence has increased. Like he said, he He doesn't shy away from communicating with people that he sees kind of on the outskirts. And you never would have seen that from him a few years ago before Thrive. And it's at that age, it's kind of a hard skill to have. And you kind of, you're kind of either born with it or you learn it. And Thrive is definitely an organization that is teaching leadership within the middle and high school age groups. And that's been his biggest change, in my opinion.
Help me out. Thrive Matsu holds all sorts of events and camps and field activities. So, is Thrive Matsu about combating loneliness and substance abuse, or is it just about having fun?
I think it's a mixture of both. Like, if you don't have any friends, that's probably not a good thing, and that'll probably make you dive deeper into that pit. But when you're having friends, it's probably like taking you out and helping you not want to go back in.
Something we always say is, like, the biggest fear of Thrive is to have somebody walk into a party with over 700 people and walk out lonelier than when they got there.
One word, I ask. If they just had one word to describe what Thrive Matsu meant for them.
Yeah, there's no specific words on, like, how to describe Thrive. It might just be, like, a mixture into one. But, yeah, it's definitely something worth trying out.
Yeah, one word-ish is, like, reaching out. Like, that's what we do at Thrive, and that's what's been done to me at Thrive. So really reaching out. We're not staying still. We're always reaching to have a bigger attendance, more people, more kids coming. And finding people that need us most. We're always reaching out.
U360 and Thrive Matsu. Two communities working together to keep reaching out for Matsu youth. Stories that reveal a surprising truth. When you start believing in people, they begin to believe in themselves.
I want to say our big things is that youth matter. That's two words. So
that's okay,
I would say,
have to.
Yeah, youth matter is why. How do I describe it?
Two stories that remind us that yes, indeed, the you in youth matters. Listeners wanting to know more about their summer activities and summer camps available through Youth 360 and Thrive Matsu should go to their Facebook pages. These are the hub for information for the two groups. Or for Thrive Matsu, listeners can send a message to 907-745-5826. That's 907-745-5826. And all sorts of information is made available. That's it for today's episode of Voices in the Matsu. If you have a story or know of someone who does, contact us at voices@bigcabbageradio.org. Until next time, it's been nice getting to know each other a little bit more. Special thanks to Big Cabbage Editorial Board and sound editor Emma Keachley. Thanks for listening. Stay good out there, Matsu.
This was Voices of the Matsu, sharing stories told by those who live in the Matsu Borough. To revisit this and past stories, go to bigcabbageradio.org. This project is funded by a grant from the Matsu Health Foundation and is produced by Emily Forstner for Big Cabbage Radio. The views expressed in Voices of the Matsu do not represent the views of Big Cabbage Radio or the Matsu Health Foundation. Comments or questions about this show may be sent to voices@bigcabbageradio.org.